Last week, we talked about new stepmoms. This week, I am talking to one of the OG stepmom coaches about how to stepmom through all of life's transitions.
I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had four kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, stepfamily life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this.
This week's guest is one of my absolute favorite stepmom coaches and humans. I've known Barb Goldberg, aka the evil stepmother, for a number of years. She has been one of our most popular speakers at the Stepmom Summit. And if you missed her this year, you can go to the link in the show notes and pick up the presentations and check them out. And when I was out in Arizona last month with my Stepmom Summit co-founder, Beth McDonough, we got to get together with Barb in person and enjoy a wonderful dinner. We had the best time, and Barb always has the best advice. So I think you're really going to enjoy this one. So let's jump in.
Barb, I'm so happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good morning. Well, whenever people are listening to it, it is good morning.
Yes, but it is a very early morning, especially for Barb. I usually do these before work, and it's 8 a.m. my time and 5 a.m. Barb's time. And I just so appreciate you getting up so early for us.
It's worth it.
So Barb is one of those people who just has like the best way of talking about all of these really difficult issues. And if you came to the Stepmom Summit, you heard her speak and probably already know this, but if you didn't come to the Stepmom Summit, we'll put some links in the show notes where you can still get an all access pass that will give you access to Barb's and everybody else's presentations. Barb, I always like to start out talking to my guests about their origin story. Mm-hmm. So tell me about how you became a stepmom, how you met your husband, and all the good things.
Okay. It's forever. So just to give you some context, I've been in a married state, and so it's even longer than that, for over 30 years now doing this. As everyone else is fainting in the early years of stepmom things, I am still living. And, you know, I met my husband at a birthday party for a friend of mine who at the time was a friend of his. He was like very newly divorced. I had been divorced for about 3 years. And we just ended up having mutual friends who had no idea. They changed their story now, but they weren't setting us up. And but the cool part
it makes
of
a
it,
better story if they were, right?
Yeah. The cool part of it was I met him and we talked for just a little bit, whatever, no big deal. But I felt like I recognized him. You never had that feeling of like, oh my gosh. So I knew that nobody would believe me. Because I just, when he left, I was like, I didn't remember his name even. And I remember thinking, I'm going to marry that guy. That's who that is. So I called six women that didn't know each other right from the bar of that restaurant and said, I want you to write this down. And because someday I'm going to marry this guy I just met. And I didn't remember his name. And they all did. So we had a code name for him. We used to call him Destiny Man. And that's how I met Bruce. And at the time, I had my son, Ian, and he had his three children. So when we married, there's four of them. As I always say, they geometrically expand. So just be prepared for that, hard to envision. But four becomes eight with their partners eventually. And then they start multiplying. And now we have 10 grandchildren. And I think it's not that unusual for blended families to have these big families. So that's a whole other skill set down the line. That, you know, I did think about it, but, you know, living it now, there's a lot of people and it's a lot of fun. So wherever you're at now in your journey, it is fun. Time is your greatest healer, right? Not that that's going to help anybody who's in the middle of trauma, but it is your biggest healer and it's a lot of fun.
It really is. And things look so different when, I always tell people that, you know, stepkids are only children until they're 18, and that is a minority of their life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're coming into their life when they're 5 or 10 or 12 or whatever, you gut it out for those years, and then they're adults, and then you can talk to them like adults, and you can have some of these conversations, and it just is, you know, you just have to gut it through that really difficult time.
Yeah. And you know what the sweet spot is, which I've now learned, the very sweet spot, and actually this goes for bio or stepchildren, is when they have children of their own. It starts to click. Yes. That to me, I mean, it was clicking before, like the ages you're talking about. There were different people, different developmental styles. But when they start having their own, you can almost see the look in their eyes switch. Like it's almost like a switch goes off. And you know, you have to wait after, you know, when they bring somebody home from the hospital. But you know, once they become annoying, which doesn't take long for people, they start to piece it. And as time goes on and they're raising these people, they really start to piece it. So it's really something to look forward to.
And have you had them come back to you or Bruce and say, you know, hey, gosh, now I know what you guys went through. Now I know. Yeah.
And here's, and this was even, I think it was before they had children or maybe, right, maybe there were a couple of them. There's so many grandchildren now, it's like, whatever. Some people were there around. It's like, but there was a point where I believe they almost came to us as a group and said, you know, we've had a chance to think about things and not sure we've been treating you right all these years. Like, some things clicked. You know, the little things that are so annoying now, like when you're compromising on time, when a lot of times, I think a lot of us feel, or our side of this story feels as though we give in a lot more. You watch your partner in what might be termed as weak or giving in. I think that's the best way to put it, is giving in, or watching kids, or parenting kids more often, or being the silent ones. All these things, I mean, you kind of make a list of those kinds of skills. They're really born out of like an unconditional love. They're born out of a real desire to raise people properly and to set examples on how you would hope they would behave, or you just know what's best. And you think there's no one's noticing, and you feel tortured, you know, all the time, or you start to lose respect for one another. And you find out in the end that, you know, people grow up, they can't, you know, they don't have the brain development to figure it out then, but they do, and it pays off. And, you know, there's been a lot of acknowledgement. I would say there's a lot of acknowledgement. Not only on like the step parenting side, but I think, you know, I can't speak for each one of them, but the pieces have been pieced. But you just have to wait it out. Like for what you were saying, you have to understand that the folks you're dealing with and living with now do not physiologically have the brain cells to act like you want them to, which is basically like an adult and a very mature adult, right?
Yeah, especially when, and I had Anita on the Inglis on the podcast recently. We were talking about parental alienation and, you know, some of those really hard kind of conflict things, and especially if that's going on, where you have a child that, you know, decides that they want nothing to do with your house. It's hard to sort of sit back and say, okay, well, hopefully they'll grow out of it. You know,
no doubt. Nobody labeled this as easy, right? But I still stick. The one thing that I had a theory about at the very beginning that has remained consistent is that I still think this is like one of the top areas of spiritual work. You know, when you re, you know, we all love to read like self-help books or watch self-help documentaries, whatever. We're really in the middle of like our lives are the best examples of self-help work because you have to do the work. You know, people always say, do the work. And I'm always like, what's that? What work do you want me to do? You know, but this is what we have to do every day is exactly what all those people are talking about. Putting, you know, keeping your own integrity, keeping your own self alive. And for women, this is a real challenge, making sure your life is vibrant and what you need to do and understand that that's the best example you can set while learning how to be quiet. Hard. learning on where you divide the line, like what's the boundary about, you know, how you expect to be treated and still give the folks you're living with. And that includes exes. And even though they might not be in our homes, you know, the space they need and all these kinds of really consciousness work, how to keep your energy up, your vibrations up. I mean, we have to do it all the time while society thinks very low of us. I still believe that's happening.
I love that you said that because it's something I've said for a while that, you know, part of why self-care and self-love and self-healing is so important for stepmoms is because we have to live our lives with intention. Mm-hmm. We have to be intentional mm-hmm. about everything in a second family, the way that mm-hmm. in a first family, you kind of get in. And I mean, yeah, not that there's not intention, mm-hmm. not that there are people that aren't intentional, but you know, it's just different. You have to approach this with intention as a stepmom.
Yeah, big time. I think like one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves is to make sure that there's another part of our lives upon which we are respected or we value ourselves or we're able to use our skills. It's really important. It might be at work. It might be through volunteer. It might be just being a great friend. Not such just being a great friend to people. Expressing ourselves through the arts, someplace else, because it's just to keep that balance going. Because whether it's true or it's not true, I'd be hard pressed to find a stepmom that hasn't felt disrespected.
Totally. Yeah. I love the point you made about society because I think it's so true. And you go by the moniker, the Evil Stepmother Speaks. Uh-huh. Which I love because, you know, thank you, Disney.
Right. Well, you know, from day one, when I used to envision doing this, that was like the expression I used. And I'm well aware that like, it's not the best marketing tool, you know, in the world and people look at it like, what, you know, but for some reason it just always felt right because the evil stepmother, the real one generally doesn't speak. Oh, and by the way, I just want to say one other thing for those starting out in the first 10, 15 years, whatever. At the end of the game, you're very well respected. I wanted to make sure everyone knows that. As this development, as people move on in their lives and so forth, I do not lack from a lack of respect. So I just want to make sure people know there is an end game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. How do you think that your experience, now that you have been a stepmom for 30 years, how do you think that experience contrasts with what they call gray step families? So the partners who meet later in life and who have adult children and stuff. And I know in my family, my husband's parents, who I adore, I truly hit the in-law jackpot, and I always say that. They both got remarried. They'd been divorced for 17 years. They both got remarried the same summer we got married, which was adorable. They were in their 70s and, you know, they met these wonderful partners. We love their spouses. It's not always like that, right? A lot of, you know, there are many, many circumstances where adult children even are like, who is this marrying my mom or dad? You know, how do you think that your experience of, you know, your children having grown up with you and can now reflect and say, you know, we weren't that kind to her. How does that contrast with that sort of situation?
I feel really strongly about this. So, like anything else, maybe I'm off, but I have found, like I see it with my clients, people that marry later in life and have, adult children, they come in like that. I think it's far more challenging. It's counterintuitive for a lot of people, and that's one of the reasons it's so challenging. Of people feel like, you're 30s, you're in your 40s, you have families of your own. Why would you care? Or why, you know, you understand. And on paper, that sounds great. But I would challenge that thought with, there's a longer history with the family, be it with those parents being married or single even. Might have been a chance that at the time of divorce, depending on the age, never dealt with it. And, you know, if it's certain stages of life when it's so egocentric in your 20s and teen, you know, or there's still unresolved issues and parent loyalty issues. I mean, it just goes back to childhood, right? So it could be many, many of those things. And now they're adults with big time voices, often, very often with partners who have something to say. And there's that could be grandchildren even that are being told certain things. So I think it's a setting expectation thing. And I think those adult kids need adults really need as much compassion and time as you would be worried about a 6-year-old. And
yeah, and communication
really
right?
is.
I mean,
it really, really
it's
is.
About sort of sitting them down and saying, hey, this is
right.
the deal, you know? And I know, you know, there are also things like, you know, wills
and
kids being worried about, you know, somebody coming in and swiping their inheritance and who is this gold digger? You know,
oh, big time. I'm trying to remember if one of my stepmom summit talks, if I did finances. Not last year, but I wonder if the year before. I feel like maybe
I did finances.
You
last
did finances?
Year.
I feel like I did
yeah.
finances one. I don't know. I did something on finance. I know we both do retreats and I always do a major, major finance section. And now a lot
yeah.
of my clients are growing along with me. I just had a session yesterday and it was all about, yes, wills and trusts, what that's
yeah,
going to look
it's
like.
Huge.
It is huge and often unspoken and really, really often unspoken and something, you know, you get into the relationship for those in now that may not, you know, that's one of those things that sometimes you say, you just don't have time to do it. I just highly encourage, especially in a blended family, you have to have power of attorneys, healthcare power of attorneys nailed down. Right, Cameron?
100%.
And
100%.
We, in fact, we've got one coming up. I should have everybody come along. We do family finance meetings so that there's no surprises. Now, if kids are 6, not necessary. But, you know, when kids get older, whenever you feel like it's right. Now, do we sit there and tell them, like, this is how much is in the bank? No. But we go over how everything's structured. We go over, you know, where all the paperwork is. Who's going to be the executor? An independent party? Someone? And what our expectations are. To me, this is most important, of their behavior. And
yeah, I love that.
Yes. And we're, you know, and we got one coming up. I think they're critically, critically important.
So how often do you do them?
Well, what we want to do and what happens are two different things. It's so hard for all of us to get together. We've been trying to book this for probably 6 to 8 months. Okay. So I would like to do them and ideally like once every 2 years, but it'll probably
yeah.
not. I probably would be more like 3. And I think our last one was more than that, you know, COVID,
yeah.
whatever. So I'm really, you know, so they know structurally what's happening.
But what a gift for you to have done that for them, because I know so many people that, you know, their parents didn't, I mean, in even just, you know, in a biological family that their parents didn't inform them of any of that. And then it's just an absolute mess.
It is.
Something happens. And I mean, I'm very thankful. Craig's dad is a trust and estate lawyer.
Oh, that's so great.
And so they have everything done. It's all communicated.
Right.
And Craig's mom is done. They've got it done. It's all been communicated. I mean, it's just really, it's wonderful. And I'm an only child, so it's a little simpler
right.
with my family. But I'm really lucky. And I know I've seen it happen too many times where
if you want to,
it's not articulated and then it's a mess.
And if you want to destroy all your hard work that you're building up all these years, have an unclear or no will or trust, or have little, something in there that, may make sense to you. I've heard families, and look, do what you want, but you know how things could be. Well, that child doesn't talk to us, so we decided not to put them in the will or something like that. Or it's not an even split. And that's fine, but telling people ahead of time would be a good reason. Or there could be a million decisions that you make. For example, for those of us bio kids versus step kids, how's that going to work on both sides?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
that's so important.
Yeah. So it's hard to keep that together. It's probably like my big fear that's left, like that, they'll fight. They'll fight over something, but there's nothing you can do.
That's true. That's true. At the preparation, and it's never too early to start those conversations. I mean, they're the second you get together.
No.
No.
And that's the other thing. I've seen that too. Where, and this is families, not just step families, that couples have never discussed it. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've never discussed it. I'm not sure. I just assumed. And then you start to live your life, and especially as women, you find yourself unprotected because, I get it. People are like, hey, I'm just going to leave everything to my children. And when you get together, it sounds great. There's nothing wrong with that. But then you start living your lives are merged together. You own homes, and then you start thinking, wait a minute. Do we both have life insurance? Who's the beneficiaries? What's going to happen? So it can be the road to good, like good intentions can lead to a dangerous road.
Absolutely.
And that's for both sides. I don't mean to, for the partner side as well.
No, it's so true. But my solution to that was marry someone in the military, because the military makes you have all that stuff and you have to sit down and talk about it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Good to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Craig had to get it all straight before his very first deployment.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So he has been all set on that. It's great because when we get married, it sort of forced us to sit down and have those conversations that I always tend to avoid because
nobody likes talking
about death, right? But you have to have them.
And our kids, I don't know. I think our kids respect us for it, but they also, some of them hate it because they don't want to face mortality.
Oh, Craig's kids totally hate it.
They hate it.
I mean, he talks about death with them and they're younger. They're still teens, but they're always like,
That's what they, mom, okay. And they're mad at us because we have it's funny. We have a file that, is on, that they have to grab and has all the contact information, social media, password, everything you need to know, who to call, da, da, da. And so we call it the dead file because if they won't forget. So it's like, okay, you go to the and find and just, just search for dead. It's the only one called the dead file. And they're like, oh God.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I love
dead
that so much. Tip of the day, Barb Goldberg, the dead file.
They won't forget.
Well, this is fun. And this has ventured into an area that I think neither was probably expected, but it's really fun to talk about this stuff because it is really important and it's not talked about enough.
Agreed.
What do you think, Barb? You coach so many women. You've coached families for years. What is the biggest challenge that stepmoms come to you with? It's a big question, but
it's so cliche. Take any survey. It changes over time, though. But I would say the ex usually is first, and whatever's going on there. And children second. And then I'm finding now people still like to talk about children. Feels like the ex floats away because the financial ties start to lessen. Depending on the situation. You don't see them as much. They're not calling as much. They're not, you know, that's floating away. Don't hear about them that much. But I see children floating in, and then finances starting to float in, because now, you know, you're starting to think, wait a minute. Yeah. As I call it, which is, you should be, wait a minute. Yeah. Right. You should understand contracts, contract law, and understand the concept that, does it make sense that a deal that anyone made when they were 20 really makes sense when you're 66? I don't know. Maybe it does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important to revisit all of that.
Mm-hmm. And to revisit. Yeah. Absolutely. So I would say, you know, because, you know, children going through each stage of development, right? So it's, you start little and then they go through the college years and 20 somethings. They're all irresponsible. No one's doing the dishes. You know, it floats into the home. Partners are too, you know, the usual. Yeah. I don't want to make light of it. It's just, I'm not so sure that some of these arguments don't happen in normal families, of which we are.
Oh, I think that's right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, you do have to delineate in different periods of time, you know, what, whether what you have going on is a step family thing or just a family
thing.
And same with kids. I mean, I always tell people that with teenagers, it's like, you've got to take a step back and say, is this step family related or is this teenager related? Because we know
most likely,
and they're not fun.
Teen related, and the frustration of not being a primary parent and feeling as if you have no say. So you have this ding dong living in your house and then you have no say. It's great. That's what doors are for. Shut them.
I love it. Exactly. I love it. I love it. Well, Barb, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
I always love talking to you, Cameron. It's like when all the girls get together, you know, kind of thing.
I know. I love it. And tell everybody where they can find you, and I'll drop all your links in the show notes.
The Evil Stepmother Speaks, where you can find blogs, books, and information on coaching. I also have Stepmom Sanctuary Retreats. But now, finally, two options for retreats, yours and ours over here. If you're interested in that.
Yes, we're
I
so
know,
excited.
The best, which is another podcast altogether. And and also, my podcast, everything's The Evil Stepmother Speaks. You can always find me there. And if you want to email on Barb at The Evil Stepmother Speaks, and hey, get in contact anytime. You've got a myriad of many of us to choose from, so you're not alone. That's the main message.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Barb.
Thanks for having me.